Ted is going to be late today, so as the vice chair, I will call this meeting to order at 5:04. And let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Adele, do you want to leave it?
Sure. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I think everybody knows everybody, but just to be sure, let's go ahead and start.
Councilor Del McAfee.
Jane Benner.
Ken Mullinex.
Patty Morgan, the street assistant.
Oh, yes.
Heather Murphy.
Vicki Jackson.
Josie Hanneman, librarian. Ashley Williams, Lapine Special Sewer.
Donna Ziegler, Lapine Water.
Thank you. Okay. Ted said he's going to be a little late. He might be here yet, but I'll go ahead and start the meeting. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Anybody have any changes to the minutes?
Do you call him or do we need to?
I think we can call him.
I noticed that it said that the meeting was called to order at 4:04, and I think that's probably 5:04.
Yeah.
I just called him and he was at his phone, so.
Somebody's joining us per phone?
Yeah, it's the RCAC.
Oh,
they,
okay.
They like to be involved with water and sewer things.
So if there are no other changes in the minutes, does anybody have a motion to?
A motion to accept the minutes as corrected.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve and second it. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Okay. Minutes are approved.
Oh, is he here?
He's got a voicemail, so
You did a cell phone?
No, I didn't.
No, but a cell phone. He's in Roseburg for a water screening.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's just a
Are there any matters to be added to the agenda that are not indicated on the agenda? Does anyone have any?
Yes, this is Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, Jake.
Can you hear me, Jake? I'm at the end of the table.
I heard the word table.
Okay. Let's see if you can hear better. I'm moving the phone over. This is Patty.
Okay, that's clear.
Jake, do you hear Chairman
do.
Say something so he hears you?
This is Jane Benner.
Hey, Jane.
How are you today?
Good.
I'm glad you can join us by phone. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah.
So, why don't we, it's always nice if someone's on a speakerphone to have people introduce themselves since he can't see who's here.
Okay, well, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Ted Scholler is absent today, so as vice chair, I'm chairing the meeting, Jane Benner.
Kim Muller, next committee.
Patty Morgan, Mr. Assistant.
And Adele. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Adele.
And then Rick Allen's here and out in the audience.
Josie Hanneman, Lapine Public Library. Ashley Williams, Lapine Sewer. Donna Ziegler, Lapine Water.
Vicki Jackson, Loretta Murphy.
Okay, that's the crew. Jake, tell them who you are.
I am Jake Falcone from the Rural Community Assistance Corporation, nonprofit that helps rural communities take care of their infrastructure.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Jake. So, we didn't have any added agenda items?
Oh, they may come up.
But if they do, we'll just address them at the time. Okay, on to point six then. Update on intergovernmental agreement between the city and the special districts.
Actually, I'm going to let Donna answer that, because when I came in today, they voted to approve it?
Yes.
And that was, it was the one that we sent.
Yes.
Okay.
Section 10 removed.
So So it should be, so it was dated June 30th. It's basically a little less than a year ago.
Right. Now. What we had was the red line draft.
Right.
We haven't gotten the final yet, but as soon as I tell Christy, she'll send me the final.
Yeah. So they approved the agreement that then would end, that we would, it's good till June 30th, 2011. And we took out the part that would prohibit us from working on things to move forward in this. So other than that, I think it's all the same wording, so that we'll have an agreement. So if that's the case, it'll come back to council and we'll approve it.
When's your meeting?
We meet on...
This one's canceled.
Yeah, that was... Oh, actually, so it'll be October or whatever.
Oh, okay.
The second...
I think it's
going to
be the
13th.
Yep, okay.
So the
13th. We'll have it back to you by then.
Okay, thank you. So that's the report on that. It's
that's good.
Signed and done, or signed by them, or will be, and then it'll get over to us. So thank you, and that was nice, good... Worked out fine.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, point 7 on the agenda, update on the water and sewer districts with BioGreen. You want to have, do we have any update other than what we already know?
No, it's out of our hands.
So what we do know is that they made the application.
And we received that today from Deschutes County. So it has been mailed to all interested and concerned parties.
Okay. Yeah. So we have that. I'm meeting with the county tomorrow in Bend. I don't know what we're all going to talk about. But anyway, I'll be in Bend tomorrow morning and we'll be hitting that up. Now that starts their time, and so the clock will start and the county will start working on it, and they'll go through their process.
Okay.
So I think it's sometime
two
like
weeks, right?
I bet longer than that. I have a feeling. I'm not going to say because I don't know. That's if it's deemed complete. That was the caveat. In other words, they've applied, and then once it's deemed complete, a clock starts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he said until they can review it and go through it, they don't know that it's deemed complete. It's not uncommon that you're missing this or that.
Right.
And so he said that, Nick said that can delay it.
Yeah, I believe those, what they sent out has a 30-day period on it for comments.
Yeah, so I know initially they were hoping for like sometime in October for a groundbreaking, but that's not looking real optimistic now. So we'll probably be in the next year.
2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, which October?
Nick sent me this, I can just read it to you. BioGreen submitted at the end of the day. We will send it out for agency review on Monday, September 20th. The timeline for decision will be in mid-October. With BioGreen's delay and submittal at the end of the day today, as you know, we are required to provide agencies get 14 days to review and provide comments on the application, assuming it's a complete application. And then it takes 2 weeks to draft and revise the decision with your and other comments. So you have to add, does it sound like 14 days and 14 days?
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, so a month. So you're looking late 20th of October-ish.
Yeah.
And so end of October. So no, there'll be no...
No.
Oh, no.
Which isn't surprising.
No.
Usually what you're wishing for is optimistic.
And then there'll be some appeals, no doubt, and then we will call it up, and that will come here in November sometime, and so they will be, they'll get their permit in December. Works. Right. Huh?
Didn't they have to have it by November?
Or they wanted it?
Yeah, they wanted it. It's probably the way to say it. I mean, as I've said, and we said that night, there's a process. You can try to speed it up, but there's these date requirements that are by law. They are what they are. So, and I explained that the BioGreen guy called me last week. And I told him that it's got to be what it's got to be. So, So that's that. As far as sewer and water side, there's probably no issue with it right now, anyway. They've reached their agreements with them, and that's after it's constructed. And, you know, as far as construction and using water, we're talking a couple years.
Yeah.
Something. So.
Okay. Good. Did you have something, Adele?
No.
Okay. Yep. Get him back. You got that cell phone turned off now? You're
yes, sir.
Right. We can't go on without you.
Well, I apologize. I didn't think about it.
Well, you're just important.
Oh, my gosh. Get out.
You know, one thing, because why Jake's here, because he does have to go to a meeting, and I thought we could, because he wanted to tell us about what rural communities, RCAC, would like to do in this process. Okay. The RAN, maybe Chair, if you would ask
okay.
him. Just
right.
That's out of order, and it would be under more like public comments, but just so that he can go on to his Roseburg meeting. So we can have a discussion with him.
Okay, great. That's a good idea. Let's move down to agenda item 10, then public comments. Jake, do you want to go ahead and give us your information at this time?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
Rin. Thanks for being willing to squeeze me in like this from afar. I did get the chance to attend the utility meetings today and reiterate it to them, and what I'll begin with reiterating to this group is that Rural Community Assistance Corporation is neutral politically on the assumption of the districts. We don't want to take sides in any way on whether it should be done or shouldn't be done. We want to make sure that the best service is provided to the customer, and Rick and I had a chance last time I was in Lapine to discuss some ways that RCAC could provide some assistance. Some things that we had brainstormed had been if the decision is made for the city to withdraw from the districts and that process is moving forward, that it may be prescient for RCAC to provide some training on budgeting, rate setting, SDC methodology, those types of financial issues having to deal with districts to the utility committee and or Lapine City Council. And I'm looking for this group's feedback on that idea, if it sounds like something you may be interested in.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
I do too.
Yeah,
part of our work is budgeting and financial management trainings for boards and councils.
Ken Mullinex, I think it's a great idea because while we would, when it finished taking place, we would have the personnel from water and sewer in-house, it would still be important that the city council has a level of background in it, would help them work a lot better with the transition and the future operations. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So he would help us.
Go ahead, Rick.
He would then help us with like an agenda on our next meeting. He could come and he would start helping us with our some agenda items on here. So we'd have different things would come along. First, we got to find out what he wants to do for us. And I've never seen a contract from RCAC. And in fact, I met him at the joint meeting. It's the first time I've ever met him in my life. So don't want anyone to think that this was like some group we knew. I've never had any meeting in my life with RCAC. Never had an email from an RCAC, no contact with them till I came to Lapine, mm-hmm. and I wondered, who in the hell are they? So this is all new to me, and they say they're neutral, and they like to go in and help facilitate things like this and get involved and play a certain role that they can, and there's some things they can do, some things they can't do, so I think it's a it's a wealth of opportunity.
Thanks, Rick.
I think it. I also think that it's a great opportunity to serve both organizations. I mean, if they're working on structure and these things around sewer and water or utilities, it seems to me it'd be a great opportunity for both organizations.
I told Jake last week was that I thought that the good thing, this training for the council and this committee on SDCs and rates and how they're set and how you need to think of them. And it, you know, not not their rates. I don't think we're going to go into discussion. We're not going to take what they're charging and saying this is how the methodology would be differently. It's really saying how do you do it, and that educates the council and the community through the people you meet and see. You know, how are rates set? And because everyone thinks rates are too high, that's just a standard response. And or they want to compare you to Redmond or Prineville or Bend. And we have our own water and sewer systems, and our rates need to pay for the system here. And I think that education will make great for the council, this board, and the committee. And I think make the water and sewer district people feel good that you're learning those things, because, you know, you're not just, you know, we're going to have to learn to set rates down the road. And when you get presentations from folks, we'll need to know how to interpret it.
Yeah, and they likely have a wealth of information from working on exactly this same type of melding, not necessarily of water and sewer districts and cities, but melding of different government entities to be able to help ease in the transition when it occurs.
Certainly, this is why we exist, is to facilitate this type of thing. And the reason I can't be there in person is because I'm giving a presentation on budgeting and rate setting to a small water association near Roseburg. And I started to explain today to the water and sewer utilities that normally our CAC enters into a service agreement, not a formal contract, but a type of document that outlays our roles and responsibilities with either a municipality or with a district. And what's unique about this situation is that we want to work with both the city and the districts. So I think what I can do is I can draft up some ideas for types of assistance, such as this budgeting and rate-setting training, and provide those to both the city and the districts for comment and evaluation. And if it sounds like what they would like to do and they like the timeline I propose, then you can agree and sign it, or you can request that I edit it or change it. And then both the district board and the city have a chance to review what I'm proposing and voice their opinion, and we can move forward from there.
Okay, I see that Donna has a question or a comment.
Yeah, something for everyone to keep in mind as far as using USDA as your financing. They're the last say in your rate.
Right. I think those of us at the table know that.
I mean, they initially wanted ours to be over $40, and the boards fought them down to the rate, the $27.34. And so there's just no way they can afford, I think it was 41 something was the base. But USDA has to agree on that rate before they'll finance you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that that just shows why you need to be educated as to how you come up with them, and just what you guys did is you argued with them. So they have final say, but they came in and wanted X, the districts wanted Y, and you negotiated, so you need to have a general understanding how our rates set.
How to justify the position we're going to take.
Yeah. Probably any other lender would have a very similar regulation because that's how their loan is repaid. So, Jake, you know more about that than I do as far as USDA and other lenders to utilities.
Yeah, sometimes we'll actually do something I've commonly been involved with is a rate study. And we'll create a whole report based around what debt does the district or city have to repay, what does their O&M cost look like, how is that going to increase with inflation over the years, and give some samples of rate structures that will yield sufficient revenue to cover that budget, and give the city those options so that they're aware of what might be done to pay for those different capital projects in the future. And that could be true with, that they have with RD or with any other state agency, or even just to finance their own capital improvement plan.
Does rural development listen to your kind of analysis a lot of times, or do they tell you you're all wet? Sure.
Well, certainly. They want to know that they are going to get repaid. You know, they're just like a bank. And if we've analyzed the we'll say they throw out the similar systems rate number of 40, whatever they quoted you, $45 or something. They think that's what it's going to cost to repair the homes. Well, if we can show through your O&M costs and your budget that it doesn't cost that much to run your utility and still have sufficient revenue to repay the debt, then that eases their mind that they can agree to a loan with a rate lower than their similar systems rate.
Okay.
So are we in agreement then? We would like Jake to pull together some information for us?
Well, what first is, we don't have an agreement with this organization.
No.
And so what we want him to do is, they obviously do this all over, so they have probably a template boilerplate agreement. He'll go ahead and put in, he kind of knows what types of things we have on our plate. He'll get that to the district and the city. And then we can decide if we want to engage them. They don't cost anything. But in the meantime, he's going to work with us on some of this. So we should, when would you probably have us an agreement to look at? Would you have it for my next council meeting in October?
What's the date in October?
13th.
Certainly. No, that's not a problem.
Okay. And then that way, we could then move forward officially. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, the districts will get it, whether or not they participate, you know, who knows at this point. But we would, then we can decide to move forward.
So we can move forward with our work with you, even if the Water and Sewer District elect not to participate?
Well, you know, you're putting me a little on the spot with that question because I haven't had this situation before where there were two entities with some degree of authority over an area that we're serving. Our interest, of course, is in the community, that they're receiving the highest level of service and that the utility is being managed correctly. So ideally, we would work with both entities, but, you know, we are only working with the city of Lapine at their request, and we are only working with the districts at their request. If they're not interested in our services, we've got plenty of other communities in Oregon that are looking for free assistance. So if it's something that you want to table until you've worked out your own political issues and not get us involved, that's okay. We will wait. But what we don't want to do is get into an area where we're forced to take sides. That's, I guess, where I'll have to leave it. And I could foresee working with just the city or with just the district, so long as we're not in the middle of a political argument.
Right. We understand your position on that.
Okay.
Well, why don't we... Rick, should we just sort of discuss this a little bit further?
What we'll do is we aren't going to have a rate discussion next time anyways.
No.
But so I would say we meet after the council meeting, so we'll kind of know what direction the council is going before our next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we may not have an agreement signed by our next meeting, but mm-hmm. Him and I will keep talking. And I'll
email that out to you, Rick, and to the district, to Donna, so that they can look at it and say this looks like something that we could support or that we want to participate with or not. So you have time before the council meeting. You don't have to show it cold to the council.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. Anything else that you need to share with us today, Jake?
No, I think that's the best place to start. We'll get into details later after you've seen the service agreement.
Does anybody have any other questions for him while we still have him on the line? Ted, now that you're here,
mm-hmm.
Jake Selkin's on the phone with us.
No, I don't have anything right now. Thanks.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, and have a good meeting.
Thank you
for being willing to work with me. Telecommunicatively.
Yeah, as Rick indicated, you know, you're invited, of course, to stay on the line as long as you can, but we'd understand if you need to head off. So just
okay. Yeah, I'll listen in, and I'll have to hang up here in a few.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, then let's go back to our regular agenda item. We're now to 8, which is update on the withdrawal of the Water and Sewer Districts. Do we have any information on that?
Let's see. Well, the IGA is going to get, I guess, signed. So what next will happen is our attorneys will be sending a letter to their attorney probably in this, could be next week, later this week or something, kind of a list of what is due diligence time, just as if you were assuming anything. And that's going to be getting copies of all contracts, agreements, water rights certificates, just whatever those things, and there'll be a list of things that we would want to acquire, so we officially have those. And some of them, they'll have easily, and some you have to dig up, and some you have to hunt around, and because over time,
I'll get offline.
So I don't know what the list is, but that's a lot of this is very legal terms, and it's not legal terms, but it's going to be handled by legal staff. So that will happen. That kind of starts it all. And then, the next step would be we would start, looking at those documents and asking more things from all of that. I did meet with DEQ and Oregon Water Resources Department managers along with the governor's office and went through kind of what we were doing, why and how, and then just to let them know that at some point all the DEQ licenses and certificates would be in the city of Lapine's name, and the same with water rights, and just as much as anything so that they know when these things start coming or if they get phone calls into their offices that their staff will know it's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. They said, as far as transfer of water rights, happens all the time. Every time a guy sells a farm,
right,
water rights get transferred. We would be getting a municipal water right. We would be able to go for municipal districts. I have a quasi water right, and there's differences. You have to prove up usage more so in a quasi than a municipal. Cities have different sets of laws than districts, and one of them is that the city's water right, you supposedly, under what they told me, was you don't have to use it, no one can ever take it away. They're the most secure kind of type of water right out there. City of Bend would have a municipal water right for their part. If you're a private water company like Avion or a district, you get a quasi municipal water right. So there's lots of little issues with it. The district's kind of permits with the sewer folks, they explained to me, and they talked about it today at their meeting. Well, actually, they're going to be renewing them in October or November, coming up here in the next little while. They're good for 5 years, but he said the transfer, their reuse permits, all the things they have would just transfer to the city. We don't have to go out and redo them or do anything else. So whatever their current reuse plan is, where they spread the effluent or anything that they have, just simply would transfer to us and change the name at the top and a new mailing address. And, that's basically how simple it is as far as when you want to do a transfer. So now, if the districts don't want to transfer it to us, then that's a different process. And at the end of the day, it probably gets there, but it's a longer process.
And more costly.
Certainly, for everyone involved. So the cooperation, having a cooperative environment makes a big difference in getting it done. As I explained to them, though, the district ratepayer is the same person that pays city taxes. So they're not two different people. I'm paying out of this pocket or this pocket, so I think it behooves both entities to make it simple, because the person that suffers is the taxpayer or the ratepayer, and they are exactly the same person. So, there's mechanisms to move things around if you have an entity that doesn't want it moved. Just more complicated.
Because it is a public entity, the Water and Sewer District, so if they were to disagree or about moving forward, would they have to have a legal reason or compelling reason because they are using public funds?
I don't know that. I got the impression it's just more complicated, because it'd be kind of like if you're trying to buy land from someone and they didn't want to sell it to you or give it to you. You know, it's just, you know, this is public entity to public entity, yeah. So it just complicates it. And just as I think he was saying on the phone, it's unusual. Normally, you know, when groups, people realize even that they may not want to happen. I've been around fire department mergers, and, you know, the two fire chiefs, neither one wanted to merge. At the end of the day, they decide that we need to do it, and you get it done. And there's not often, or rarely, as he said, they've never dealt with kind of, you know, one that just doesn't move along. Yeah, so it's a little bit uncharted water, if you want to call it. If one wasn't to want to do that. However, I don't think that's the case in working with the folks here, and, you know, I don't see that happening. So it's just a matter of making sure we do things right, and the districts want to, you know, make sure that things are looked out properly, and they should, and so do we. So I actually do not. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if we somehow have to go to court. So, you know, I haven't wasted a lot of time on what do we do. We'll cross that bridge if it happens. I don't think we'll have to get there. I think the districts and the board, I was there for hours today, all good people, and they all want the same thing. I mean, at the end of the day, they're not going to. Do you see us having to do that?
No. Yeah. I just needed that reminder that we were there for hours.
I know.
It's like, oh, gee, thanks, Rick.
Yeah.
Right out of the hand.
That was Ben speaking.
So, you know, it's going to take, you know, months. And it may not be July 1st. You know, it could take, and that's our date. And we'll get into down the road how you, you know, it could be October 1st, could be November 1st. You could make it January 1st. We could still do our thing in March and say, because one of the things the under ORS 2222, which we're withdrawing, it says you pick the date of withdrawal. So you can pick it out their way. So I think what we'd want to do is pick it out far enough that we're sure everything's going to be done. And maybe you'd make it January 1st so that you, 6 months, that way for budgeting purposes. So when you're putting your budgets together, we can do it. So
I was just going to say, yeah, I would, as the time gets closer, I would like to know for budgeting reasons.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm budgeting for.
And I think by February or March, we should be able to know, that's 5 months from now, kind of how things are going, where we are with USDA, and some other things. And the other thing I'll come up, we'll talk about here, is that the district wants to do some annexation, some other things. So we will know more then, and then be able to kind of estimate a date. I mean, at the end of the day, if you do it a month sooner or a month later, it doesn't matter, because this is for the long term. This will be here forever for the community, and just means you're going to have to adjust your budgets a little, but you'll probably be doing a supplemental budget that year anyway. So it won't matter. So don't worry about the July 1st date. Other than that's our goal, but it, you know, might not be exactly that, obviously.
As long as we have the ordinance prepared for March.
Well, that's what my goal would be, is because under the law it said you can pick the date that you do it, and under the law the districts have to keep operating to that date. They can't stop ahead of it. So, and we would negotiate, we work it all out in a friendly way anyway. So I think, but if we don't do it by March 30th, as we well know, then you skip that entire year, and it's all for budgeting reasons. I think they don't want you to goof up people's budgets. So.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Is there any other input from any of the committee members or the representatives here from Water and Sewer? Okay, thank you. Moving on to agenda item 9, establish priority list of action items to be accomplished prior to withdrawal of special districts.
Which is kind of what we just were talking.
Yeah, you
so the list is going to come from the attorneys, and we'll get that to you once it's made up, and we get it to those folks, and then we can send that out to you. I haven't even seen a draft of the list yet, but we've been working on a list, and there'll be more to follow. So, like I say, some will be easy and some will be a little more complicated. And, you know, but she gave me, which I already had, they gave me the master plans of both the districts, and then today they gave me that little one today in the last meeting was...
That was the water reclamation for BioBrain.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll start getting those.
Okay, so as we get those, then we can, as a committee, assign different pieces of that parcel to work on.
Yeah, we'll discuss them. I mean, a lot of this, I think you realize that it's really going to be staff-driven. What will happen is we'll do like we're doing here. There'll be some questions and some things and learning the rates and how that's all done, but a lot of it's legal.
Right.
And, you know, none of us are individually going to be running off, surveying and checking out values of things. So we don't really know how it will play yet, how this will work. So another thing is, of course, we hope to get... I do want to change our resolution. I will ask this because we talked about one of the beefs, as you well know, and I actually agree that, Barb Ann had resigned from this, and because we made them ex officio members, and what I'd like to do is let us rewrite the resolution to where now we're moving forward. We may need to make it seven people or whatever and appoint the people we need and make them big deal here. We vote, and so we get a couple people from their districts on here. Are you guys okay with that if we did that?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's important. I think it tells the districts we want their opinion. They get a vote. They get to raise their hand. The ex officio is always kind of, you feel like a redheaded stepchild, not just a stepchild. if I'll work on that so we could have that maybe at our council meeting in October, we'll make that change. In the meantime, then, let the districts know and they could find... there's a couple of board members have talked to me about maybe wanting to do it, and then Donna had wanted to be involved. So I think when we meet starting in October, we could have district folks sitting right here with us, and we can really start to work on this. That's the way to get this all done.
Absolutely.
So you guys are on board on that. Mm-hmm. You could make a motion if you wanted.
Yeah, we probably should make
that way. Then I get marching orders.
Okay.
I make a motion that we change the resolution from ex officio to all members of the committee be voting members.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
And it's been seconded. All in favor of approving that resolution?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Probably aye. Proper wording of that would be recommend to the city council that we change the resolution.
Didn't I say that?
Thank you, Ted. Okay, with the recommended change in the wording of the motion, that motion has all approved and has been passed. Thank you, Rick, for suggesting that. And then we have, as you say, marching orders.
Yeah, that'll kind of get us going.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I needed to add before you get to public comment. This, and Donna just sent me an email. The district, maybe I'll let Donna. Why don't you tell about what you guys would like to do with Cagle subdivision, and then
we would like to annex the Cagle subdivision that's in the city boundaries. Our master plan allows for a larger area. We would like to annex the same, basically the same boundary you have up there, to get water and sewer in there. We would like to do it as soon as possible for a couple reasons. Number one, the interest rate is low. It's at 3% for us right now. Construction costs are very low. And if we can get that done prior to you guys assuming the loan, you would take over a loan with a lower rate. As opposed to waiting for however long it takes for us to be absorbed by the city and possibly having a higher rate.
Right. Well, that makes sense. That would be something that would then be presented to the city council.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I believe we're on the agenda for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not on the agenda yet because we haven't made that agenda.
Okay. We request to be on the agenda.
You would make sure. It's more complicated than that, and that's why the idea of having committees is the discussions are held here, mm-hmm. just like their meeting went on today, because you get into what could be committee work at a board meeting, and that. So this is something for you. So we need to think about it and would kind of go to the council, and I'll go through the issue, and I don't think we have enough yet. And it's okay if Barb Ann or someone from the district comes and raises it, but you know, that's the council. We aren't going to spend an hour at a council meeting mm-hmm. doing that. We have lots of things to do. Mm-hmm. So it's officially she can come raise it, but I got the email and I was there and listened to it, and so I know what the issue is. And then the engineer and I spent half hour on that topic alone, thinking through options. This is what she said they'd like to do. They want to first annex it. You have to annex it before they can do the service. That's a month or two process for them. Then they're going to apply, which they've already applied preliminarily, but they have to do more things to get the rural development grant loan slash that would fund doing the work. Okay, that's about a 6-month process. Then you'd go out and bid it and build it and so on. USDA said, they were there today, that they will not, first of all, whoever applies for the loan has to be there at the end of the construction. And the engineer told me that that's probably a 2-year project, but that's not, I mean, there could be some pluses to that. Call it 2-year to 2-year plus. Which means we're out into 2012 to 2013. And I told him that would be a problem. Because districts are always doing stuff to a degree. And, and to have him take on a construction project like that and then have it, is problematic. That area has not been part of the sewer or water district, obviously, since it's been there, and therefore, if it has to wait another year to start, it's not the end of the world. Now, on the flip side of that rates are low, and it's a good time to build and do things. So, what him and I talked about, and it came up a little bit at the meeting, is there a way that both can be done? Can USDA let them apply and get call it halfway through the project? You know, the contract's out there and they're digging and it takes another year to finish it. Mm-hmm. In that time period, we take over ownership and that it could either and can continue some method to where that they get to move forward. The taxpayers and the ratepayers, we said they're the same people. We got to keep that in mind. Are going to get cheap money. They're down to 3%, or was it 3?
Yeah.
3%. So if there's a way to accomplish that, then, it's definitely worth looking at, trying to figure out. Could we joint apply so that if one went away, the other one is there? Now, there's a lot to all of that. Because we haven't yet ever been analyzed by the USDA or the Rural Development. But they're going to have to because we're going to assume the other loans anyway. Mm-hmm. So that analysis will get done. Could the districts do it and they would transfer the operation, call it the day-to-day stuff, to the city? And they continue only for that contract. In other words, they're kind of like the contract agency to finish that project to the end. And then they would transfer, once the project signed off, it transfers over to us. There's some interesting possibilities in all that. An example I used with him, and I'm going to go get the copy. Central Oregon District Hospital in Redmond was a district hospital, special district. 5 board members go to the polls just like the sewer or water districts. They wanted, and some did, Becky Johnson, who was powerful, didn't over her dead body, and she voted against it because she did not want the districts to go away, but the current was moving differently. CODH then now is part of St. Charles. Mm-hmm. But you had sides that were nervous and didn't want to, you know, they weren't all sure, but they knew that's where it was going, and they knew it had to go there for a lot of reasons. The district stayed in existence for 2 years, but they contracted 100% of everything to St. Charles. Employees, all income, 100% of the income went to St. Charles, and the district just existed while they went through this thing. And they only met once in a while, and occasionally they'd have a joint meeting. But they didn't meet every month, and because they didn't have to pay bills and do things. And then, as things settled down, the districts then voted themselves just to
go away,
to, you know, kind of
dissolve.
Thank you. That's what it did, and it worked well. And so you could insert Lapine, in other words, the districts, because they could do this construction project, see? And if everything else...
districts legally could continue to operate because of the triangle.
That's correct. Because of that little piece of triangle, the districts could continue, and we could, through intergovernmental agreements, work. So the end result is the city operates it, the city runs it, the employees transfer to the city, just like those nurses did. But the district stays for a little while to do that. You know, and I'm sure that was a complicated agreement, and it's also public because they were a public entity. So I'm going to call, and the director of the hospital was Jim Deagle at the time. He actually was administrator of CODH, and I was on our hospital board, and I followed all this pretty close at the time, and Becky Johnson and I talked why she was opposed to it. But it did happen, and Jim Deagle now is the CEO of St. Charles. So I'm going to call Jim tomorrow when I'm driving Eugene and talk to Jim and have him send us, you know, that contract, that agreement. And the engineer and I, that's the kind of the line we were thinking of. If there's a way that we can meet the city's needs of acquiring the districts, and meet the district's needs and want, and they have the expertise to go ahead and to move down the Cagle subdivision, and we could get the cheap interest rate. And I think that shows the public that these two groups can work together and for the betterment, and at the end all the goals are met. Now, whether USDA would go along with all of this, but hospitals borrow tons from USDA, and they were a district hospital. My bet is they had district obligations, and you can bet during that time period some construction went on that could have involved USDA. So I don't know, we'll do our due diligence on that. He's going to talk to Pam at US, keep saying USDA, but it is the same, it's rural development.
We always call it USDA.
Huh?
We always call it USDA.
Yeah.
It confused me, you guys call it rural development, actually.
Okay. same folks, but he was going to talk to her, you know.
The engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what is his name?
His name is Dick Richard
Norin.
Yeah. And spent a lot of time, I kind of walked through with him how we got here, why we're here, and everything, so that, you know, because he kind of gets it via email and phone call and this and that. And I explained to him why we didn't want to enter into an agreement that would bind us down the road, and he understands that. And so we had a great conversation, and he's very knowledgeable, and so he's going to do some work on that and everything. So what do you think? You've got this Cagle thing that's been hanging out there. They'd like to move forward. We have kind of our mission. And
well, I think that, first, I think that we would like to hear the rationale of moving into the Cagle.
I mean, why is that important? What's the need?
Yeah.
Okay, we can have them make a presentation at that.
And why is it is important to the whole system? So, has the district entered into an agreement with Mr. NORAD?
No. Today, at their meeting, there was numerous things that their attorney had not reviewed that were removed from the agenda. So that was one of them. That agreement, and I talked to him and I told him, you know, if they wanted to do an agreement with him that ended when we assumed, you know, or something. Or just not even have one, let them do like they've been doing with him. So
one thing to keep in mind, too, is that part of that IG agreement, and if I remember correctly, was that that there was not going to be any annexation or any of those things. So that would have to be addressed.
Yeah, oh yeah. We can make it, but we can do all those things. So it's more of a philosophy of what is important or not.
I think it was more that we would keep you aware.
Yeah,
is how it worked.
No, I think it was in alliance with our.
Well, you do need. It seemed like to me that you need our approval to do an annexation.
Yes.
In that.
Right.
But that would be, so this would be if we wanted to it'd be a, no one would be doing it against the will of either party, so
yeah.
It would be, we could update the IGA.
Well,
you were there for the presentation on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, one of my thoughts was, is it's obvious as a city that we would want to have all of the city. I mean, that's one of the services that, as a city, you need to provide. And going through the process, which it sounds like it's not a new invention. The Redmond Hospital did it, and it took time, and it worked, and everybody was seemed to be pleased the way it worked. The other side,
I have
was,
no idea, but it
no,
was.
No, but I mean, it happened. It happened, and there were some people against it, and yet it happened. The other side of it is maybe. I just to look at it, I made up my mind or thought about it that much, other than the fact that there's another side that you could expedite this whole thing, get it done, and then the city takes on the annexation. I mean, the end result is going to be the same, in effect that those city those employees will be working for the city, et cetera, and et cetera. So that's
what you're saying, and I talked to Dick about that. In other words, move this along to where we could do this next, basically a year from now. We could start into that. I think the issue was interest rates are low. That's the only thing that's the unknown.
Right.
Could you have another 0.5% in interest rates or something? And
maybe.
And I think that there's the other piece is, it's kind of like it's something the districts, and I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't be, but I think that it's something the districts would like to do.
You've been talking about it for years.
It's important to them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you're merging things, you know, people all have things that are important to us, and we all want to be able to, you know what I'm trying to say without saying it. And I think that's something that would mean a lot to that board, those boards and things. Now, that doesn't mean that we should or shouldn't do it.
I have a question, too. In assuming an extra debt load and at the interest rate, does that affect rates for the ratepayers?
No.
And at what level do the ratepayers have the opportunity to vote for something like that?
Well, ratepayers don't vote.
They don't know.
No,
I mean, how does that mean if it comes to that?
Well, under the rules, USDA, first of all, the USDA will do analysis and based on the amount of money this project's going to cost. They don't know all those things yet.
No.
And then USDA would look at that, just as they said, what Jake was talking about. They will say it's going to cost X to build it, or they give them the estimates. The cost is going to be X. What effect on rates? Now, Dick said maybe no rate increase.
Well, see, when we did the initial Lapine project, and then a couple of years later we added Wickiup Junction, the rate stayed the same.
For everybody.
Yep. No. USDA did not require, they said your rates are fine where they're at.
So they would assume that the new users of the new system, by putting in their monthly payments, would be able to service the additional debt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's enough houses built out there. You can go count the houses and the lots and multiply it by the 20-some bucks, and you can figure it out. I mean, that's what happens.
I as I was saying about this difference, the one that you can do it one or two ways. I just threw that out there.
No, I
totally agree with the idea that there is there is more than one reason that's an advantage to carry it out the way you first explained. I mean, there's several good points to that, and you stated those.
There's you know, my main thing is that I felt like what my discussion with Dick was, we weren't going to agree to something most likely that causes a delay in us moving forward, because that just becomes a thing that continues. And so anything is almost on the table we can work out, as long as the withdrawal process and or the city assuming the districts is basically on target. And if there's a way to do both and that works out, then we could certainly entertain that.
Who is it up to do the annexation? The county?
No.
I mean the application, all that goes down, and the county says, okay, you can do that.
Yep.
It's up to the county to approve.
Correct.
We pass the resolution. Give you the authority to do it.
We apply, we pay the fees, they're a few hundred dollars, and then the county proceeds with the annexation.
Well, I think that we should certainly investigate whether USDA would be willing to look at something similar to what the hospitals did. And that would be one thing to investigate. And the other one is, as you say, expediting it. Because the people in the Cagle neighborhood are paying city taxes, and they have a right to have the same services provided to them as the rest of the residents. But also, I agree completely that we don't want to have something happen that's going to delay this process that we're working toward.
Exactly.
Yeah. As long as the end results are the same, what difference does it make? You know, what's working out? Either way, either we expedite the city absorbing the districts, or let the districts remain as long as the city runs the process, and we don't delay that moving under city jurisdiction.
Okay. We have, 6 o'clock is when this meeting is supposed to end, and I want to stay close to that, but we do have a question from the audience.
Yeah, I would just like to ask a question. You were saying you've been looking at this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty familiar with the infrastructure type, water and sewer. Have they done any preliminary engineering looks at potential cost for doing it per foot or for taking it out there?
No. I can tell you that the last project we did a couple years ago, we did from on Drafter from the Legion all the way to 97, and then from Telegraph from William Floss to Finley Butte. Mm-hmm. The engineer's estimate was about $47 a foot. We got it for $24.
But I guess what I'm asking, have they done any preliminary engineering look at it, preliminary type planning? Because when we're talking about time frames, that right. I know how long that part can take. That's what I'm asking. Is there anything in existence that's been
in our master plans? Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Because
that could take 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah. No, the master plans have been done, paid for.
So they have a preliminary.
Yes. Engineering.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, is there anything else on that particular item?
I just have a thought, is that I know that at the last council meeting that there was, we were talking about a road and about how, what, you know, horrible condition that the roads in the Cagle subdivision. So as the city, I think that we also have to have that consideration if we're going to dig up the, put the pipe in. Mm-hmm. Are we in position to also fix the road?
And that's something I told Rick, is that our intention would be, of course, to do water and sewer at the same time, so we only tear it up once, mm-hmm. and bring the roads to a grade that the city wants for future either paving or whatever your plan is for those roads.
Yeah, that's
we always
a big,
bring it back to standard or above standard.
Yeah, that's an advantage. One of the advantages of this whole merger is that then they can bring it up. They would bring it up to standard, because if you're going to tear it up, then you're going to bring it back, and they can get it ready to pave. So if we were going to pick a road to pave, it lowers your paving costs mm-hmm. tremendously if they bring it up to that, and then we say we went and paid to have it paid,
right,
and it's all done. So that's an example of having the advantages of having us work together and merge these. So
We could even go as far as doing the rock prep, everything.
Right.
But one of the considerations is, and it's all tied into this whole thing about the roads, is you got Skidgel, which is a nice wide road. It's already been laid out properly. And then you go over to Pine. Pine's about this wide.
Right.
And you don't start cutting trees down. You're cutting trees down from people's front yard, mm-hmm, according to them. But that's not anything bad. It's just that it's going to take some work and money, mm-hmm, that the city may or may not have or may need to go get to do the surveying to get that right away.
Yeah, and that's all part of the financing.
Yeah,
that's included in your financing
for
the surveying.
You've been for that project.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So that's how we've always done it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the city doesn't have to look at that down the road.
Because they're going to put the water pipe probably down the side of the road in the right way.
The water line goes down the side. Sewer line typically goes down the center.
Right.
Yeah. So you can do something.
And then you do tie-ins. So then you put the main out there, and then everybody ties in.
They tie in
at
their own expense?
We sperm out to the lots with homes. Uh-huh. Sometimes we do vacant lots. It depends on how much money we have, if we can do it with what we've got.
If we were to paint the road there, you probably would, so you're trying to dig up the asphalt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We would want to sperm them all out, each lot. For the ones with homes, we install a meter. And the only cost to the customer is from getting it from their house to
get tired.
There's no SDC charges.
Question.
There's no hookup fees. It's their cost.
That's a condition of the loans, isn't it?
Yes.
Usually,
it's up to them.
I thought it was a federal rule that if you got a loan okay.
And we also allow everyone to keep their wells for irrigation to help keep their water bills down.
That's a nice
thing. They can't drill any new wells,
right?
But they can keep their well for outside watering.
The question I would have is that it would come back to me from the people who are in our water district, how that's going to impact them.
As far as?
Well, we own the water district.
You talk
currently.
Oh, you're talking about Glenwood Acres. Okay.
Glenwood Acres Water District.
That would be the same kind of a deal that we did with Neil Russell. It would be up to you if you want to sell it.
Of course.
the price is right.
See, that's the thing. We bought Neil's existing system. I think he had probably about as many customers as you did. So at that point, it would be up to you. We would have to value the system. We would probably have to redo the entire system because it would meet our standards.
Which means it doesn't have a lot of value.
Yeah.
Which you were trying to
get. Well, that's the buyer and selling. Buying and selling a car.
That's right.
You know the gulf between those two issues. Thank you, Donna.
Okay. We've already covered public comments not on the agenda. Are there any other items for discussion? All right, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'm looking at the next meeting for the third Tuesday of the month. Would be the 19th of October.
Yeah, same day as our meeting.
We're going to try to keep them on the third Thursdays or Tuesdays. That'll be our new, because it works good for the districts. They meet in the morning. Then if we're going to do some joint meetings occasionally, we won't do them every month, but occasionally, and then we can work with the districts, and then everything's fresh in your mind. Is kind of meeting day, certainly then I have to be here that day.
Yes, and I need to check with Tony DeBone and Virginia to see if one of them would be here or we wouldn't have quorum.
So. Well, and maybe we could appoint, we might have a couple new people by then.
Yeah, true.
And so,
yes.
But, yes, we do need to make sure we kind of got it. How many members do we have on our group right now?
Five.
Five.
Was it a five-person committee?
Yes.
Amendment could be seven, I think.
But they were non-voting.
Yeah.
So what you just do is amend the resolution, keep it at seven, but make them voting members, and find out who wants to be on it. And I'm going to actually proactively call a couple board members and ask them to participate.
Excellent. Okay, thank you all.
Ashley, do not keep writing notes.